certainly honored to be here again, doing what we're doing today, just coming through the time of prayer, trying to overcome all the things that beset us in this day and age that we're living in. And one of the ways, of course, is through prayer, and that is just what we have just done. First, I think we should pray again. Heavenly Father, we do so much want to glorify your name. We do so much want to edify your church. Lord, we want to be the best that we can be. And we want to soon have you come back and remove us from this world. But in the meantime, Lord, there is much to be done, much to be overcome. We pray that we could somehow inspire and help others overcome all these things. To the glorification of your name, for your name's sake we pray. Amen. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The first thing that is so important for us to do in order to overcome the world is to be thoroughly converted to Jesus Christ. You do not join a church or a denomination. You do not join. You can be born in this very, very fellowship and still not be converted to Jesus Christ. It is so important to make up your mind to serve Him and to live for Him and to put Him at the center of your life. Because without that, nothing, no formulas, no teachings, nothing will work without Jesus Christ in the center of your life. You must be converted. Even the disciples, after 3.5 years of walking daily with Jesus in constant fellowship with Him, were not converted until after He died on the cross. It was essential for Jesus to die and to be buried and to be rose again from the dead in order for the disciples to understand what their mission was supposed to be. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, without the outpouring of His blood and availability of this wonderful salvation, none of it works. You must be born again. And in order to be born again, you must centralize Jesus into your life. Jesus must be the reason for everything you do. His abiding presence in the person of the Holy Spirit must become so real to you that to grieve Him, you see, would be a sincere sorrow for your heart. To hurt Him, oh, I don't want to hurt Him with my life, with what I say, with what I do. I want to be like Jesus. We must cultivate an attitude of obedience. You need to cultivate this. You need to work at being good, being obedient, doing what is supposed to be done, looking at the instruction book, and following the directions needs to be the motivation behind everything that you do in your life. There is something in here. There is a way of life that is taught, the way of Christ. It is a narrow way. It is a way that is clearly shown in the Scriptures. And it is totally void of self. A Christian should not, cannot be, must not be selfish. Because that is the religion of the devil. Me, 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 self, 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 what can I get, what's in it for me, is what the devil preaches, and he is very successful. He has many, many, many followers. And he would like each one of us as well. In fact, he's concentrating, if you're following Jesus, the devil is concentrating on you. He's already got the others. That's how important you are. For Jesus died for the individual. He died for everybody, but not everybody is going to avail themselves of his salvation. Salvation is not automatic because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Doesn't mean the whole world is saved. Regardless of how they're living and what their lives are, they are not automatically saved. When Noah built the ark, not everybody was saved just because there was a way of salvation for them. They had to get in the boat. And each one of us must become converted totally, fully, all sold out to Jesus Christ. Won't work any other way. It's got to be his way, not my way. And that is very easy to say and harder to do. Because after 40 years, this is my 40th anniversary as a Christian, 1969, I fully committed my heart and life to Jesus Christ, and it has not been easy, but it has been rewarding, and it is joy unspeakable and full of glory to know Christ and to know that in spite of our bungling stupidity, he still loves us and will still work with us and will still help us overcome a multitude of faults and failings. He is so patient with us. And so it is behooving us to cultivate an attitude of obedience. What is it? Now, from the moment I gave my heart to Jesus, my question has been and still is, what is it that you would like for me to do? It must be that way. Ask him first before you go out and blunder it. Ask Jesus first and save yourself a lot of trouble and toil and sweat and tears. If we would only do what is right in the beginning, if we would only come to him first rather than after everything else has failed, pray. When all else fails, some people and a lot of us pray when nothing else works. When we could have prayed and saved ourselves a lot of trouble. We need to study and we need to learn. You need to cultivate the attitude of a student. I want to know. I have an unquenchable thirst for knowledge of the truth. No matter what it is, I got to know what it is and I got to know what to do. And I got to ask him to help me to do it when I find out what it is I have to do. We must study and learn. And study and learn what? The Bible. Because when we are given this new life in Christ, he makes available the instruction manual. And how many of us just still try to do it on our own and don't bother to look at the directions till everything else goes wrong? We've got him ready to help us at any time. We've got his word. And so it is a good thing, in order to overcome the world, is to get yourself fortified and built up by reading and praying, but studying his word, and find out for yourself whether these things be so or not. Because no matter what people will tell you, no matter what church you are in when you start, if you follow Jesus Christ, you may not end up in that church. You may end up in another church. I speak from experience. I started in no church. I started with a picture on the wall, a picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd holding a lamb at 5 or 6 years old, asking my father, "What is that? Who is that?" "That's God," my father said. And that's where it begins. It begins in the home. It begins with curiosity. It begins when God sees to each one of us, God has given a little bit of faith to start with. The Bible says to each has been given a measure of faith. So all of us have an innate curiosity as to why things work and why they don't. You know, when you're little, you get some little toy, you want to figure out how it works, and you know what you end up doing? You end up breaking it. But then you learn. You learn from your mistakes and your breaks and all the things that come your way. You learn from everybody that ever comes into your life, leaves a little bit of themselves in you, and you become a conglomerate of everybody you've ever met in your life. You adopt this mannerism here. You adopt that mannerism. You form speech habits. You get attitudes from your associations in your early life. And by the time you are 16, 17, 18 years old, you have been thoroughly confused. You talk about teenage confusion. Well, teenagers are just trying to sort it all out. They want to know what's true and what isn't. And my son used to irritate me so much because I tell him something and he says, "How do you know?" And then when I begin to explain, he would cut me off in midstream and say, "Oh, Dad, that's boring." But be patient with folks. Love them. Take time with them. And if you can help somebody, that's what it's all about. Helping others to overcome. Each of us together, well, one person, it's pretty hard to stand against the world, but a threefold or twofold cord that cannot easily be broken? When we stand together in a united purpose and help one another, this is when we are strong. This helps us overcome. But you need to develop your curiosity for God from where it begins. And mine began where it was. And in early life, I had in grade 3, I had a teacher that taught the Bible and taught us prayers, taught us hymns, helped us to memorize scripture in the public school. But still, I didn't have any God in my home, but it was enough to make me curious as to know what is the truth. And often on my birthday, as a little boy, my parents would give me 50 cents, 75 cents, and it was the 1st of July, Canada's birthday. It was a holiday, and they used to have chicken barbecues, and they used to give me 75 cents to a dollar, whatever it cost for the meal, and I would go off all by myself on that day and have my own birthday off to myself at a chicken barbecue with a box of chicken sitting on a hillside eating. And I would listen to the radio, Billy Graham or somebody, preaching. And they would say, you know, if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, do this, 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 and this. And in my own little way, I would bow my head on the hillside while listening to the transistor radio and eating my chicken and say, "Lord, whatever it is that what Billy Graham is saying, you know, come into my heart," and whatever. And then I'd soon forget about it because I had nobody teaching me at home. But I had the curiosity. I needed to find out about God. And it's so important to know the truth. And so we overcome little by little by little. You need to find something to do. You need to be busy. You need to do something. And so what did I do? I went and I found somebody to take me to church. And I started off in the United Church of Canada, which is a combination of Methodism, Presbyterian, and Congregational. I don't know if you know what all those are, but they're old churches. And I went and joined a church, 9, 10 years old, on my own. But by the time I was 18, I was ready for something new. I was ready because that church was dull. That church, one time the preacher came up and he said, "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere." And that was in the church. That was the preacher. That's the person that's supposed to be taking people and bringing them to Christ. I didn't know any of that, but there was something wrong with that. "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere." I thought it was more important to know the truth and do that. Knowing the truth is more important than sincerity. And knowing it right and knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, these are things that we need to know. We need to find something to do. So what I went and I joined that church. But when I was 18, I went one Sunday night to one of those Pentecostal churches. Yes, I did. And it was lively, and there was music, and there was singing, and there was clapping, and there was stomping of feet, and there was all kinds of liveliness. Now, you've got to remember, 1969 is rock and roll. And I was the child of the times. And anything that was lively is where I wanted to be. Now, it might not have been the right place, but it worked for me. Because I saw that I needed Jesus, and they preached out of the book of Revelation, and they said, if you don't get right with God, you're going to go through some terrible times, and you better get right with God and make it right with Him. And it scared me half to death, and I went down to the altar and I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I might not have been the right method, might not have been the right church in some people's opinion, but it got me into Christ. And whatever gets you into Christ somehow seems to me to be okay. I'm not approving the methods. I'm just saying that as my heart was honest, I wanted something real. I wanted something true and to know Jesus. And I gave my allegiance to Christ and not to that church. Remember back to the first one? I said, be converted to Jesus Christ, not to a church, not to a denomination. But it got me started. And I began to read my Bible. I began to pray. Sometimes I would pray all night long. Sometimes I would read my Bible three times a year. Sometimes we would spend a marathon and reading the Bible from cover to cover for 2 days in a row. Whatever it takes to get you into the Word of God and get you close to God, I approve of. And I approve of this: reading your Bible, praying every day, and trying to find the truth and applying it in your life. Consequently, I did not stay in that church forever, but I stayed there for 30 years. Now, there's a lot of things that I had to learn and unlearn. And when you come into a church, when you come into a relationship with Christ, you've got to be willing to change if it's necessary for you to do so. And if you've been in error, you need to be corrected and you need to change. And the thing is, if I am going to be persecuted anyway, I want to be persecuted for the truth and not a lie. And so, when I began to study the things that this church teaches in 2001, Jean and I began 2001. We were married in 2001. She was a Seventh-day Adventist. I was whatever I was because I was in the Salvation Army. I was going around to churches preaching what I thought was the truth. I tried to make everybody like me, which is what, you know, I wanted them to all do what I did and believe what I believed. Because if you don't believe in what you're doing, then be quiet. Why even say anything at all if you don't believe you're right? And some people say, you people think you're right and everybody else is wrong. No, I just believe I'm right. You can fit in anywhere you want or anywhere you please. If you don't believe what you're preaching is right and teaching is right, don't say anything. Now, I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to be rebuked if it needs rebuke. If I need to be straightened out, I want somebody to straighten me out because I don't want to believe a lie. And sometimes truth is ugly. When truth is revealed to you, you must embrace it, you must obey it, and you must allow it to change you. No matter how ugly it appears or how uncomfortable you feel, just to be thought of as wrong was very uncomfortable for me. You know, and sometimes to eat crow is not very tasty. But you need to know the truth. And the only way that the truth can set you free is if you apply it to yourself. And when we read the parables about the Levite and the priest and the Good Samaritan, let's remember that we could be either one of the three at any stage of our life. I could be the priest one day, I could be the Levite the other day, and just if I'm lucky, I might be the Good Samaritan. When it talks about hypocrites, it's not talking about the person next to you, it's talking about you, because I believe each one of us has been hypocritical at some point in our lives when we thought or we behaved as if we were something we were not, because we want to keep up appearances. No, we don't want anybody to think bad of us or to think ugly of us. We want everybody to love us. And it was one of my personal characteristics that I wanted everybody to love me. And I found out at around 2 or 3 years old that not everybody loved me, and the whole world did not revolve around me. Up to age 2, you see, you make that child believe that the whole world revolves around them, then you try to correct them for the rest of their lives. You've got to share. No, I haven't for 2 years. Why should I start now? Everything was mine. All I had to do was scream and cry, and I got it. But the Bible says that when you become a man, or when you grow up, you put away childish things. And we have to learn how to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when truth is revealed, you must have that attitude of obedience. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, you want me to go to that church? Oh, my. That's one of the most unpopular. I mean, I thought I was in an unpopular church when I was in the Pentecostal church. But the Seventh-day Adventist church? No, that's a cult. That's what I was told. There's even books written about us, how cultish we are, because we believe in the Ten Commandments and follow the Bible. You know, what church does that? I mean, you're not in a cult if you believe in the first commandment, the second commandment, the third commandment, the fourth commandment. All of a sudden, you're a cult. 9 are okay, 1 is no good. No. When truth is revealed, you must embrace it and you must obey it. I learned the Sabbath truth while I was still in the Pentecostal church way back in the 70s. I went to my pastor. I asked him, why is it that these people have the service on Saturday and we have it on Sunday? And he said, because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. Huh? What's that got to do with anything? Where did it say in the Bible that the Sabbath changed? And it never rang true. But because I was in that church, because whatever church I'm in, I do not want to make waves. I do not want to be contentious. You see, I believed in growing a beard, as you well remember. I believed that was biblical. That was the right thing for a man to do. If one wanted to be a true man, he looked like a man, and he grew his beard like a man, as the Bible said in the Old Testament. But not everybody saw it my way. And some people thought I was trying to hide something when I had that beard. He said, you weren't. You're trying to hide something. No, it grows on me. This is me. But in the Pentecostal church, they said, you can't have a beard. That looks too worldly. This is the 60s. That's hippie-ish. That's like the hippies. You don't want to associate with the hippies, do you? I said, well, okay. So I shaved it off, and all those years I had no beard because I did not want to be contentious. I don't like to make a big issue out of things. So I shaved it off. Now, why'd you shave it off this time? I took it off because I wanted to. Nobody. I wasn't hiding anything. But you do not allow little things to mess you up and to get you all upset and say, well, if that's the way they feel, I'm going to leave this church. Because everybody is different. Everybody has a different way of looking at things. They have an individuality. So how does that bring about unity in the church? When we unite around Jesus Christ and His Word, and we say, I want to do what His Word, no matter what everybody else does. And so I will do this because the Bible says so, and I will not go like this to anybody else. I will just do it, and if somebody asks me why I do it, I will tell them. But I will not harp at people, and I will not look down my nose at people because they do not have the same revelation that I have. Some people think the only way you can be saved is to adopt the health message. You've got to be a vegetarian, and all those that aren't vegetarians aren't saved. Now, where do they get that? That's an attitude that comes into the church sometimes. A spiritual pride that some people get, that because other people don't see it their way, therefore, the rest of them are not converted. The rest of them are not Christians. But we've got to follow Jesus Christ exactly as He wants us individually to follow Him. And if we do that, we will come together to the unity of the faith. Think about that. If every one of you would ask God, what is it you want me to do? And you did it, wouldn't everybody be doing the same thing eventually? Because Jesus would not contradict Himself. Would He? No, he would tell you to do the right thing. He wouldn't tell me to do something and you to do something else. But some people, I don't know. What can you do? Learn how to pray. This is how we overcome. If we remember these things, we will overcome all things. Learn to pray. Don't be afraid to stay on your knees longer than 10 minutes. Make sure you have a regular time of prayer, but be in an attitude of prayer at all times so that under every circumstance you might be ready to be a blessing to somebody, to answer somebody's prayers, to do something that God wants you to do. And how can you possibly know what God wants you to do if you're not listening? How can you hear from God if all you do is your own thing all the time? Learn how to pray. And here's one that I found really, really helpful in overcoming. Don't wait for others to behave like Christians. Christians should lead, not just react. And so many of us are sitting around like this, waiting for the other people to act and behave like Christians. And what are we doing? If there's somebody that needs cheering up, cheer them up. If there's somebody that needs help, help them. If somebody needs you for anything at all, let's just stop waiting for other people to be the Christian and let's be Christians ourselves. Because really, you know, the only way I can help somebody else is to stop criticizing them. And criticizing is so easy because we all have so many faults. But the chief motive behind criticism sometimes is to not let anybody see mine. If I beat them to the gun and I start criticizing them, they'll have no time to look at me. They'll be defensive. So what we want to do is when it's the right time and the right season, and you need to tell somebody that they're doing wrong, go privately to them and sweetly and quietly and gently show them the error of their ways and how to overcome, rather than just bang, bang, bang. God has a lot invested in you. Don't let him down. What overcomes the world? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, we can rejoice in our Lord and Savior. Because here's what he says in John 16 and 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Overcoming all the faults and failings of life and getting into the right church and learning the truth and doing the right thing all comes through Jesus Christ. Through a proper relationship with him, he will help us overcome all things. Who is it that overcomes? Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's pretty simple, isn't it? How do we gain the victory? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You want to overcome, cultivate that religion, relationship with Christ. And how did Christ overcome when he was tempted? By the word of God. It is written. Whenever a temptation comes your way, if you've been studying your Bible, if you've been praying, if you've cultivated your life with Christ, the scriptures will come to you that will help you overcome the temptation. Yes, they will. And remember the Lord's Prayer. If we are tempted, we have these words. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have the tools. We need to pick them up and use them. And how do the scriptures say the saints overcame the enemy? Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So how do we overcome evil? Well, Romans 12 and 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that good? So, when we do these things and everybody's doing the same thing and everybody's believing the same thing, that's what causes unity in the church and not division. Because if we're all doing the same and thinking the same, as far as mission is concerned, not being carbon copies of one another, but individually, with each of our individual gifts, working together as a body, one is eyes, one is ears, one is hands, one is feet, different ones of us, all of us have a function in the body of Christ. If we all work together, how happy we are. Because that's what brings unity. Find out what it is that Jesus has given for you to do. Ask him, what is my ministry? What is it that you want me to do? And I've asked that time, and I've told you before, he told me to be a helper. He didn't say become a great evangelist or do this wonderful thing. He just said help people. Be a helper. What is your special gift? Ask him. He will tell you. And if you don't know what your special gift is, ask some of us. We'll tell you what you do good. Sure we will. Some of us don't know our gifts until someone else says, you know, you're very good singing. Oh, really? Oh, you know, you have a very nice way about you. Why don't you become a greeter? You know, there's different things in the church that you can do, and if each of us does what the Lord wants them to do, we shall overcome. And, you know, why was Jacob's name changed to Israel? Do you know why? Because he overcame. Here's what it says in Genesis 32 and 28. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, no more crook, but Israel, for as a priest hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. That's overcome. Jacob had to overcome Jacob to become Israel. We have to overcome self to become Christ. Self is our biggest enemy. Selfishness and me, 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 and what I want has to subordinate itself to the will of Christ. Here's some promises I want you to remember. Revelation 2:7. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Wonderful promises. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What are we overcoming? I thought that when you give your heart to Christ, when you repent of your sins, you're automatically in and there's nothing else you have to do. Well, then what's all this instruction in here for? We need to overcome. There are things that we need to learn to do, and the only way we'll ever be successful in our Christian life is if we obey what his word teaches us to do. Is that legalism? No, that's just common sense. There's nothing wrong with common sense, is there? If Jesus tells me to do it, it must be okay to do. He wants me to do it. He's serious about it. You know, there are 10 commandments, not suggestions. Aren't they? So then if he says, if you overcome, you will get the rewards, then we need to make a lifetime of overcoming and never, 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 never give up, never quit. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Woo. Even as I also overcame. Now Jesus had to overcome the flesh, didn't he? He had to crucify the flesh. And we have to do the same as Jesus did and crucify the flesh. And the only way that we can crucify the flesh is through the power of God that he gives us. Without the power of God, which is available to us, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, how could we ever allow ourselves to be tortured and killed for Christ's sake? We have to be willing to die as he died. and crucify the flesh. Every day when we wake up, we've got to put that old man to death again. Because somehow he wakes up in the morning when you do. And you've got to knock him out and put him back to sleep. Because today is the day of salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It is up to me, it is up to you, whether we have a victorious day or not. And not to allow the devil or any bad thing come upon us that will shake us from this victory, because this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. To him that overcometh, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So then, this is what makes it worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus, won't it? And the last thing, and I want you to remember this, and then we're done. If you fall, get right back up again. If you fall 10 times in the day, get right back up again. Because the only way you can ever win, the only way you'll ever overcome, is to never quit and never give up. Because God is faithful who promised. If he says, I will be with you until the end, I will never leave you or forsake you, then know that he is there to help you even when you fall. Don't give up. I'm not telling you to go out and sin. I'm not telling you to deliberately do things. But when things go wrong, when you know you failed him, ask him to forgive you. And anybody that you've offended, ask them to forgive you. Get right back up and get right at it again, because Jesus will help you overcome. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who overcame death, hell, and the grave, that as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. And so, Lord, we're asking that you will help us cultivate an attitude of obedience, that we will search the scriptures, that we will look and see ourselves as in a glass. And anything that needs changing, whether it's our attitude, whether it's our outward adornments, whether it's doctrines that we have held that we have found to be false, that we would change these things and adopt the new things that you have in store for us. For we know that you are looking out for our best welfare. And so, Lord, help us to look out for each other's welfare, and to love and to care for each other, and not to lose patience with folks when they fail and when they make mistakes, but help and support and lift up and pray for and heal wherever we can. In Jesus' name, amen. And shall we sing 318?